so we pray. Heavenly Father, we believe it gives a new depth of meaning to know that you are here and that we've been studying the prophet's message on the future home. And that means, Lord, that your presence as the spiritual head of the church, the one come down to put all things in order, the one that brings us the word and raises the dead and gathers us, calls us up higher, that one in the form of the Holy Spirit, becoming incarnate to us for the great wedding supper of the Lamb, just means that time has really wound up and eternity and time blending. And all these things, Lord, that have been here, though good to begin with, then have become perverted. Yes, even, Lord, where there's been an insinuation into that which you have had here, making many things very gross and corrupt, all those things will soon be gone. And only that which is of you, Lord, will remain. And so, Lord, we thank you that we know this position we stand in. And it would not be possible except that you came down to set yourself head of the church. May we understand that, Lord, and walk in that light. Help us to understand your word better tonight than ever. And to come into the spirit of it, Lord, which is your spirit of revelation, wisdom, and knowledge yourself in this particular sermon we're listening to. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've been thinking for quite some time about the spirit that lies behind this message and what it presently means to us who are under the seventh seal, even though the future home is a little over 1,000 years away. Now, we're well aware that the New Jerusalem, peopled by God, His Son, His Bride, and the 144,000 is the ultimate of the ultimate God. Now, that is something, of course, that we mentioned a couple of times, perhaps even last Sunday, that I would think people have a great deal of trouble with, because they cannot associate this earth as it has been given to us by God to literally be an ultimate. I think people would like to believe that God will dissolve all of this, literally annihilate it, and then start some other plan which we think would be a good idea, although we wouldn't know just what God had in mind. Now, this actually gives you what God has had in mind through that part of eternity before there was ever a speck of stardust. In other words, this, what he's talking about, predates any work that manifests in a physical proposition. Now, what started in the Garden of Eden, because that's where we start man's history, actually, the history of mankind, now ends in this glorious city. And there in the garden was the first human being with God and the tree of life, or Zoe. Now, we don't worry about the Hebrew so much, because the word Zoe is the word that we look at. And even as it will be in the New Jerusalem, we find that same proposition in the Garden of Eden. Now, God was dealing with a purely physical concept in the Garden of Eden. And you're looking at a purely physical concept in the beautiful city. Now, as I said, here in that garden was the first human being with God and the tree of life Zoe, even as it will be in the New Jerusalem. And we might well wonder how truly Adam was aware of that tree of life. Now listen carefully, not aware in the sense that he knew or did not know that it was there, for it is certain that he did know it was there. The Bible lets us know that. But to what degree or extent was it revealed to him concerning all that was predestinated to him lying in that presence, which was the tree of life? Now let your thinking go and apply today. Did Adam have any real recognition, insight, anything at all that let him know what lay in Zoe. Now, remember that Zoe is the word used of God, but it's the word used of you. It's the word used of everything that lives. And this is what we're trying to get as far as I know this message. And what lies in here is that every single thing that God made in the original is good. It's excellent. And will be brought back and furthered in the New Jerusalem so that you'll be literal, living, eating, breathing human beings. I don't know one thing about sleeping. That's not necessary. That's going to be a joke because that tells you things are going to be a whole lot different than you and I think. But you will not be disassociated from what there is now. Everything will be entirely elevated. And God only knows what lies ahead of us. So I don't know that Adam knew what lay in the tree of life or that presence. Now certainly this tree of life was not a tree in the garden that was all a glitter or glistening, as Brother Branham uses the term. So certainly then this tree of life was not a tree that was all a glitter, manifesting its own essentiality and claiming its rightful predominance as though it were trying to attract all to itself and by its omnipotence force its omniscience and predestinated plan upon the viewer. You just know what I'm saying? You're following what I'm saying. That is what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil cruelly and hypocritically perpetrated upon mankind. But here in Eden, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I am the Lord, I change not, is Isaiah 53:1-3. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who will know it when it is there? Who will plumb its depths when it is there? Who will understand? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's what happened in Eden. The tree of life, the presence, was not esteemed. It just didn't take hold of Adam the way it should have taken hold of Adam. Here was the gospel back in Eden, even as Paul proclaimed it to be. There's only one gospel written before the foundation of the world. In 1 Corinthians 1:17-21, for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, not that glittering, compelling attraction, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the glittering, the glistening, the glitz, they call it of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. By the tree which was cut down, which did not have anything to attract mankind of itself, nor did it impose itself upon mankind, as to cause anyone to literally receive the revelation and wisdom of God through his omnipotence, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where's the smart man Adam that could name all the animals? Said, Adam, what's the name of that 10,000th one you named? Well, tell you exactly what it is. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer, the sophist of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that and the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. God's wisdom said they're not going to get it by the laws of nature and the application to those rules which they discover. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. That was your tree. That was the presence. But veiled in its simplicity, the presence, the tree, hidden in and by the unbelievingly mundane, that God would identify himself with the dust. To the extent that he would become dust, and shed his blood to redeem this dust out here, which you're looking at. Okay. That God would identify himself with the dust and limit his revelation of himself to a revelation of foolishness. It blinded the eyes of Adam and Eve. They went to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, glitzy, good to look at, very compelling, very attractive, right down the line. Consequently blinded Adam and Eve's eyes, and has consequently blinded the eyes of all except those to whom God grants repentance. In this very hour, when the tree of life is again exposed to us according to Revelation 22:10-14, and it is, there must be those like Adam and like the Jews, when they saw him whom God had sent, and were blind to the reality of Jesus the Christ, and saw nothing in him that they would desire. So today they cannot help but be aware of his presence. For who can do what was done before our eyes, as God declared in John 14:12, the greater works? We have seen Matthew 4 and Matthew 12 literally fulfilled in Hebrews 6:1-9, where God demonstrated again his life from the dead, doing the same works in the Holy Spirit through a prophet that he did when he was here on earth, the same God in man, the man being different. And Hebrews 6:1-9 being the last call, the last message proven by miracles, signs, and wonders, to let everybody who wanted to dabble in the Holy Ghost come away with gifts of power, so-called authenticating themselves where there was no authenticity whatsoever, but they had betrayed themselves. So everybody knows there's a presence. They can't help. The 20th century showed it. We cannot help but know Revelation 10:1-7 has been fulfilled. But who is able to apprehend it all except those to whom God has granted the repentance we've been talking about? We must heed the word, especially in our day. Revelation 3:14-20, where God describes the age in which we live and the people, and he has one word for all of us, and that is to repent, which means a change of mind, which begins to see what God would want us to see, but unfortunately we cannot see because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which still makes people wise, and which still has the food they like, which fills their bellies, that makes them great, that makes them what they want to be. We're commanded to repent, and repentance must then be that we've got to become foolish after the things of this world, but wise in the things of God. But who can repent and change his mind? Only those to whom it has been given. And not all of those have been given the privilege, as we see in Matthew 13:16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that you see." That means to literally come into existence what they saw by vision and prophesied and did not see them come to pass. "And to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them." Which means Jesus himself would be on earth with his own message, which they indicated and predicated by their prophecy. What of the others? They are there. They of Matthew 13:13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. So I said, there's, they cannot help but understand that God is here in a way he hasn't been here before. That God is doing as he not done before. But you see, they're blinded. Exactly, as there were only 8 people saved at the time of Noah, there'll be very, very few today. Thus, we are those who are granted both to see and to be converted. As is found in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, repentance has set in. As it says, the veil in verse 15 in chapter 3 is upon the hearts of Israel. The same veil is upon the Gentiles. But it says in verse 16, concerning them as it concerns us, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. When the mind is given the understanding that God wants it to have by a divine revelation, and the mind is disabused from all the plug channels, doctrinally speaking, that's the first channel you got to get rid of, is all those channels of wrong doctrine. If you don't get rid of it, you're not going to get rid of the rest of what you're never going to get the Word of God feeding in. Because you can't do it. You misapprehend it, misplace it, just the same as Adam and Eve did. You listen to the seducer, you're going to get all messed up. You've got to understand doctrine. If this church doesn't understand doctrine, by the grace of God, I sure hope it's not my fault. Because we try to understand doctrine here to get behind what the impelling forces of God are in the whole thing, so that the Word of God can come together. But now it says, when that mind shall really turn to the Lord, the veil be taken away. Now it says in verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. In other words, sound the trumpet of jubilee. You've been freed. You understand and realize this, you have been freed. Now, we can't sit here tonight any longer under a condition of darkness when light has shone into our hearts and into our minds. We cannot sit here as though we're bound in prison when we have been loosed. See? Brother Branham speaks of that poor old crow the fellow had tied down. One day somebody felt bad about the old crow and let him loose, and he kept hopping around as though he's still tied down. And a bunch of crows flew, and he just clawed back because he didn't know he's loose. You've got to understand these things, see? Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Spirit of God is here, the same Spirit that moved upon the face of the deep, the same one that moved in Jesus Christ, that same one in our midst. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. In other words, the true assessment, the true image, the true understanding. And when you have that, and that, of course, is Ephesians 1:17-18. Positively. And when you are, you'll be changed into the same image. And an image, of course, is not the real thing. It is a copy. And remember, Christ was the image, the very image, through the outraying, through the life of God that was in him. God was in the man. So we also now, by the step-down process, call it a trickle-down, call what you want, we also are in position to show forth what the life of us is, which was in Christ, as the life which was in Christ was God, and manifest the utmost of the superlative, because he could have called 12 legions anything he wanted. We also, in our understanding and our status, will be changed to the position that God wants us in. And Paul says it comes by a ministry, which is the shout. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That goes right back to the garden. Plumb away from Satan. Plumb away from his thraldom, his power. Not walking in craftiness like the beast. Not handling the word of God deceitfully like the men that rose up in Paul's day. And the end time, even more so. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And then he said, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to those that are lost. In whom the gods of this world blinded their minds to them which believe, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them, then bring forth the same image. You think God is going to bring forth an image in anybody but his own? He can't do it. So there you see what we're looking at. Now, Paul says here, for we teach to preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, what will it be at the end time when we are to receive a revelation and come into a knowledge? It'll be the same light. The light that there was in the east settling in the west is the same light that's going to shine into our hearts and bring forth that knowledge. Now, this takes place and become the fulfillment of the predestination of the bride, which we already said was Ephesians 1:15-23, where she's taken into heavenly places and sets with him. So by now it is sure that we who are here tonight have caught what Brother Branham was teaching in this message. But to make sure we understand, let me put it even more clearly by a question. Are we catching the spirit behind the message? Can we get the impact of this sermon that Brother Branham preached? It is that we stand as mortal beings like Adam before the tree of life. And Zoe, as wonderful as it is, and even as we see it, is ready to come into its fullness and all that lies in Zoe, which is God. Everything which delineates and moves to a conclusion, the conclusion is the holy city with the people of God and God. And all around the great world, no more seas. Likely millions, if not billions, could be billion people, I don't know. There'd be millions of people, millions and millions. In the presence of Almighty God, bringing their glory in the holy city from the end, from the outside, and worshiping God in the inside. It is Zoe completely of God. Now we speak of Zoe completely of God, we're speaking of God himself as being that life and no other created life. No other life there now. It hinges entirely upon God himself. It is Zoe completely a God. And remember, Zoe embraces the manifestation of what you see, because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that Word becomes, as Brother Branham teaches us, it's the spirit body that God began to move in. He called it theophany. Now, and he said, then notice the Word became flesh. But you'll also notice, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It wasn't that God was Zoe, it was in God to be Zoe. In other words, he took upon himself a form. Then everything began moving into a great form. And at the end time, the great form that God himself has formulated is the new Jerusalem and the reborn, recreated earth. There is no Zoe then, but of God in his children, and no spirits or lives, but that are entirely intended for us. In other words, God has now had an intention, and this time the intention is not wherein one plan of God is to bring forth his attributes, which could not be brought forth except under fallen condition and other spirits and all. It is now where there will be nothing but God and his people. No longer is there a trial period, a period of training that we've had here on earth. No, that is all over. We have turned the corner from death to life in this very hour in which you live. Time to eternity. And from part of God to all of God, and now God, all and in all and over all, is coming into view. For he is the head of the church, and putting all things in divine order. In other words, he's getting everything ready for the bride that he predestinated. Everything that man has ever wanted and longed for can be summed up in one word. Now listen carefully. Everything that man has ever wanted and longed for can be summed up in one word, relationship. Put that in its worst concept or its best concept. But put it in its worst and start with Satan in Isaiah chapter 14. 12 and 14's enough. We'll read it. Oh, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will have a relationship with God and to God. That's the worst of the worst. He wanted a relationship. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's a relationship. Let's go to the book of Genesis. The third chapter. 4-6. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant the eyes. Tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave to her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened. There again you see relationship. The relationship of the domineering to take over. Look in Genesis, the 11th chapter, verses 1-4, and the whole earth was one language and one speech. Came to pass as they journeyed in the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and there they dwelt. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly, that they may. Then they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. They said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto the heavens, and let us make a name, as we scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Notice again, relationship. Now, let's go back to the book of Revelation and see more relationship. 13:11-17, beheld another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, spoke as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him. Caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He doeth great wonders, and he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast that should be killed. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Relationship. Relationships. Let's go back to Philippians. The third chapter. Let's go to 7th verse. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that by any means I might attain to the out-resurrection from among the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, I follow after, that I may apprehend that which I have also apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Once more you see relationship. The family is based upon a relationship. There is nothing that is not found or based on a relationship. So we see the start of the perfect relationship for that we long for in its purity. And the relationship we're longing for is Ephesians 1:15-23, that the Spirit of God will come into the church, giving us the revelation and the wisdom and knowledge of him, bringing about a resurrection and putting us up there at the wedding supper, and bringing us back on earth to reign and rule with Christ, finally ending up in the New Jerusalem. This, of course, is brought about Revelation 10:7, the prophet of God upon the earth, bringing us to Revelation 22:10, where the seals are open, and commanded they no longer be shut, where the separation takes place and the tree of life is in full view. This, in turn, brings about the resurrection. This in turn brings about Revelation 19:11-16, coming back with Christ, the great bride, to take over the earth, ruling with a rod of iron. This brings about, of course, also the reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ in a time of peace. It brings about the white throne, and it brings about Revelation 21, the new Jerusalem, the holy city, which John saw coming down. Thus, this is that spirit in this message that the prophet brought. It is Zoe, of which he said, little children, nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to live. But they want to live to be fulfilled. And it's the unfulfilled that commit suicide. Because they say anything is better than this. No fulfilled person is an unsuccessful person. But relationships are what causes all the differences. See? So we're looking for a proper relationship. All of us want to live and be fulfilled. The fulfillment of a relationship which is God and His universe and us. Now, you can't put it any better than that. I don't care who you are. And here it is right now. It is in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 where the Lord descended with a shout, the voice of the archangel, trump of God. It's going on now. It is 1 Corinthians 15:20, the presence of God, bringing the church and everything in perfect subjection to Jesus Christ now so He can come down and reign and rule in it. Looking forward to the time when there'll be a complete recreation where the earth and every inhabitant, every single thing, is fit to be in the presence of Almighty God in a relationship such that before they call, He answers. There is nothing left to chance. There is nothing left to trial. There is nothing left, period, but a constant fulfillment. As the life of God flows to the people, that life will flow through them and all around until there's a wonderful perfection. This is what we're looking at. Now, can we apply the principle of the greatest battle and perfect faith, which show forth the vindication theorem for this message, and move on into the heavenlies of the assurance that God has given us? Now, can we identify with Zion? That's the thing. Now, I see, look, now I'm not an intellectual person, neither am I stupid. I'm not a spiritual person, but neither am I gross. I just have enough to know the difference. And that's all anybody really needs. And if you know the difference, you know what I'm talking about. It is difficult for the human mind to embrace the thought, this is it. The life that you have now is exactly what you always will have, only you will be in different circumstances. Your geography is going to change. As long as you have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where you worry about your nose and your hair and your shoes and your feet and the style and all of these things, you got a wrong Zoe. You're looking at the glistening, the glistering. You are not looking at the humble part. And the humble part says, yes, you with your beady nose, eyes, and your hooked nose, paw, and your stooped shoulders, as it were. And you look like something the cat dragged in. They'll still recognize you. But you won't look that way to the people that have the eyes of God. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show myself. We are so disillusioned with lives, with our own lives and the lives of people we thought we loved and thought they loved us. Husbands who left you and wives who left you and the mess is perpetrated. Let me tell you this, kid. I want to look you all in the eyes. You, the same lousy kids, could be there and you could be there. It's not going to be what you think it is. It's going to be what you are told it is. See, that's why the church must get more and more to the place of an understanding. Yes, people are going to be there. The tall and the short, the fat and the thin. And I know of no place where the black will not be black and the yellow will not be yellow. I am not a communist to bring all the races together and have a certain tea color, as the Stalinist bunch wanted. I don't think that's what Lenin wanted. You can see what the perverts want with relationships. Now, this is what God said about his relationship. Only we're going to awaken his likeness. The oneness and the perfections that we see in God by his word is what we're aiming at. And that's going to end in a great, big, beautiful city. So, Brother Vail, I love to hunt, I love to fish. Isn't that nice? You may never fish and hunt again. So there goes your idea of hunting and fishing. I don't know. Brother Branham said Jesus in the resurrection ate a fish sandwich. I don't believe for 1 minute we're going to eat fish. What if I was wrong? No problem, we'll eat fish. You see what I'm trying to say? And you notice something is happening to you. You're settling down in your spirits and your hearts. Your head is giving way to your heart where the revelation is. I can tell. I'm not fooled one little bit. Notice how your mouths are relaxing. I'm not fooled up here. I'm not kidding you for 1 minute. And I'm not speaking in the spirit. And I'm not a psychologist nor a psychiatrist. There isn't anybody but who admits to the will of God, a peace begins to weep over his soul. If this is what God wants, then this is what we want. And Paul said, there's just one thing I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss that first resurrection, the resurrection from among the dead. That's all I want. I'll forget everything else. Well, Paul, you're a short little guy. Wouldn't you like to be about 7 foot, 6 foot, five? No, he said, I'm not interested. Basketball and football's not my 40. I preach the gospel. Just wanted to let you know these things, see. Now, listen again. Can we now apply the principles of the greatest battle in perfect faith, which show forth the vindication theorem, and move into the heavenlies of the assurance that God has given us? Brother Branham preached this sermon of the ultimate of God. Can we identify with Zion? Can the spirit of the prophet, which is of God and in which we have been made to drink, now catch us up into the reality with the psalmist in the 48th Psalm? You sing it enough to know it. At least the first few verses in it. Here's what he says. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mount of his holiness. That's Zion. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Is it? Come on, it's coming. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Now this he's bringing, he's going to now take and weave in the Zion as he knows it on earth. And watch. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled, they were troubled, and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there in pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of our Lord of hosts, and the city of our God, God will establish it forever. See, he's looking down the road. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, the great walls outside. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to generations following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even in death. If they had a revelation back there under the blood of bulls and goats, what about today? What about the revelation today, brother, sister? See? Now that song, I'm marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching to and we're marching Zion. We're getting there by the grace of God. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Somewhere there is a bride who is moving in that spirit of the wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, and sees herself as his bride, queen of the King Jehovah. Already she has the wedding band of divine grace. Now that's what we're looking at in the spirit tonight. Get ready for maybe a second tape, Joe. I don't know. I'm going to finish this tonight, but maybe it's the last thing I'll ever do in my life. All right. We're on page 68. And Brother Branham says, Dear Jesus, in paragraph 308, this hope, my hope built on nothing less, Lord, that's the mother of my heart. That city, the great king. That's New Jerusalem of Galatians 4 and 19, which we read. May we examine our lives again today, Lord, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Waiting now. not for the spiritual capstone, but waiting now for the time when Jesus will get off the Father's throne, that Spirit of God that's here, God Himself, take us all together and lift us up and become incarnated in Him who is the Lamb. And then that's the coming He's talking about, the second physical coming, where all those redeemed out yonder in that great Colosseum in Rome, where those Christians were eaten up by lions, they'll break the dust, they'll break forth someday out of the dust. There'll be no grave. Now listen, there'll be no graves yonder on the hillside of glory, nor doorknobs will hold a funerary, no tear will spot upon it, drop upon it. No. No heaped up sod, no storms will strike it. It'll all be glorious there. But you notice what it is? Everything He says is relative to what is here now. Doesn't say there won't be doorknobs. Doesn't say there won't be doors. Doesn't say there won't be sod heaped up. Just said there won't be graves. There won't be tears. There won't be wreaths. There'll be no death, nor sorrow, nor crying. See? See? Why? Because there's death to everything by the second death that is not a part of the true Zoe of God. Now, you read for yourself the book of Jude, and you'll know what it's all about. I'm not going to take time tonight. Lord, help us if there is one here that is called this wedding supper of the Lamb, this 1,000 years, millennium reign unto them, entering the city after the honeymoon is over. The millennium is merely the honeymoon. Then he, that the bridegroom takes his bride home. It's hers, her bridegroom, his bride. Oh, he's gone to prepare a house since he's become engaged. He's betrothed. In other words, he's made a pledge and said, you're the one I'm going to have, and he sticks to it. May we be true to Him who is the Word, for He is the Word. Now remember, God becomes Word on the grounds of the spiritual form that He takes. That form, that's a word body, he calls it, becomes a manifestation. Regardless how they try to sass us, keep away from it. Lord, draw me near. And he sings, sometimes I grow homesick for heaven. 310, the future home of the groom and bride, he's coming back to take us into the wedding supper. It's going to be 3.5 days. It's really years, but they're called days. Then return again in the millennium on our honeymoon, and then he's going to bring the city into view. Now watch, like the bridegroom taking the bride to her surprise. I hath not seen your ear heard. We've been told about it. And you know what? When you talk about something that's wonderful, there is no way that you're really going to apprehend it until you see it, because this is the great surprise. How the little bride stands there in awe as she looks at her future home. See the great humility there? She's going to just realize, how could He have done this wonderful thing? And by faith today, Lord, we see it yonder. It'll be right here on this earth. You promised it. Your church will be completely redeemed one of these days, and then your world will be redeemed, the rest of the particles. Remember, we must be redeemed first. All creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, which fully takes place in the resurrection. But first you have to redeem your people. First you have redeemed your people, their bodies that make up the world. I think it really means earth, and also the cosmos, in the sense that they will be the governing force with Him. Now, all creation's waiting for this great day. Help us, God. If there's one here who isn't exactly sure of that, Lord, may they just now receive it just now. I know it's been long and hot, but people, we won't always be standing here. I won't always be your pastor. Let's make it sure. Is there a way, Brother Branham? Yes, become a part of the Word. A part of the Word today. In other words, you become a part of the manifestation of God, and you can only come by the gospel, because it's the foolishness of gospel, and this is end time gospel. You've got to believe you've got to believe these things, or you never get to understand them. See? You can't become a part. You see, yes, become a part of the Word, a part of the Word today. You can't be a part of the Word of Moses today, certainly not. That part's been done, made up. That was the feet. We're at the head now. This is Christ. Not the arms time back in Luther. No, this is the head time. Christ, the headstone, comes to the body. Now that's the shout. The Lord Himself shall descend of the shout, which is a miracle working ministry proving a dynamic Word that God is behind. See? Now it's not the headstone of the rapture, not that. And the wedding supper, that's future. What is here now? God is here in the form of the Holy Ghost, the same one that was here in human flesh, has taken upon Himself that Logos, pillar of fire. Not the Logos of human body now. The only human body Logos He's got is us, collective. He had Brother Branham for a while. 3:12. If you're not feel just exactly right about it, wherever you can, will you raise your hand up so I can see it? Everybody else, keep your head down. God bless you. Remember me in prayer, Brother Branham. I want to be there so bad. I don't want to miss it, Brother Branham. I'm checking. I'm doing everything I can. But pray for me now, will you? God bless you. While you're thinking of it now, just pray. Say, God, it's in your heart. See, if you feel something tugging, tingling at your heart, that's what it is. It's that attribute trying to declare itself. That's that little light that you were born with, was handed over to Adam. Heavenly Father, take us now, Lord. Let the great shepherd, now that's the great pastor, the great redeeming pastor, the great pastor, because that's what it is, the shepherd's a pastor who left glory, knowing that some of the attributes were lost in the great valleys of sin, where the wolves and the animals would soon devour the little sheep. But he left the golden corridors, came down into earth, and was made one of us, so he could declare the love of God to us. He left the ivory palaces. You know. There he found that. Some of them in denominations, some in the house of ill fame, some on the streets, blind, some of them in hedges and highways, but he redeemed every one that the Father deigned for him to redeem. And he commissioned us that we would live this part of the word for our ages. Now that's his commission. You got to believe it. You got to receive it. Let the life go to work in you and see what you have for this day, what your witness is. And we see the great reformation of Luther in that age and of Wesley and the Pentecostal. Now we're looking for the headstone of the city. The headstone is a human being, God in human form. Oh God, we know the age and promise that we are given for this day, how that this is to be restored again. The evening light shall ripen the fruit of it, and it will come to pass that there will be a day that cannot be called day or night. But in the evening time it shall be light. In other words, during the time of Laodicea and lukewarmness, God is going to send his glorious light to bring light to the bride. And as all else turns dark, 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 the bride will turn light, light, light. As it was in the time of Egypt, there was light only in Goshen, so there'll be light only in the bride. We must believe that, because that is the truth. Now, the message has been vindicated by healing revival. Never forget it. Now, that same glorious Son of God manifested himself in human flesh up here on the earth, making the promise live itself exactly. Now, at that time, the promise made itself live exactly. What was he to do? He did it, and it lived it. That was the tree of life. See? And it blinded the eyes of the Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians and so forth, and today it repeats again. See? That's the tree of life, the presence of God. As they say, where is the promise? They still don't. They still want to make that word coming as though it's something to come. It isn't. It means presence. Amen. Oh, they're all concerned. They'll turn every textbook inside out to prove themselves right. You watch them go down the tubes. The word being manifested just like it was. That's Matthew 12. The word knowing the secret of the heart. That's Hebrews 4 and 12. Just exactly the way it was, as the scripture said, which cannot be broken. And that's Hebrews 13 and 8, the same thing. Help us, God, to realize it. Help those now who raise their hands. In other words, he's in this prayer talking, he's literally preaching a sermon on his own vindication and his authority to place people by the word of God. Just as it was when Jesus said, Peter, here's the keys to the kingdom. And the keys to the kingdom was repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The loosing of sins was according to that same word. They get loosed according to their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the binding is the same way. Because what is it? It opens the eyes of some and closes the eyes of others. See, help us, Lord God, to realize it. Help those now who raise their hands. May they buckle up a little tighter. shod themselves the gospel of peace. Put on the full armor of God. Pull the helmet down. Take on the shield of faith. March forward to the grand Lord. Just a little while and we'll be summoned. That's by the trumpet. Then the rapture will come. Just a little bitty group like Enoch will be taken up, shows very few. Then the remnant of the woman's seed, they keep the commandments of God. See? Like the Jews there. And the Jews have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Gentiles will be hunted down like dogs and give their lives for their testimony. Now, that's the way the bride was done to under Rome. There'll be pressure on us too. That's how it's going to end. The bride will not go through the tribulation. Then one great morning, the break of the millennium for the honeymoon will start. Then the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years. Then at the end of the 1,000 years was judgment, showing that Ham was in the ark. What's he talking about? The foolish virgin. He was no one to write home about. And Ham is still there in the remnant, talking of Israel also. Ones that heard and rejected will have to be judged. Now watch. Ones that heard and rejected will have to be judged. Does it say they'll be judged and lost? Doesn't say that. It says they'll be judged. People write today rejecting. They don't know what they're doing. What will happen? Come up in the second resurrection? A lot of them no doubt go in. Now granted, Lord, that we will not be considered among them, but we'll be in the call to the wedding supper, for we do recognize Jesus among us today. Now what is that one? That has to do with the parables. See, come out and meet him. Come on out. Then he said, there are some people came in. He said, what are they doing here without a wedding garment? Put him out. They're not going to be in there. See? You watch what happens. That's going on now. That's going on to White Throne. Everything is going on now. This is the thing that people cannot adjust their minds to. But by the grace of God, in faith, we do it. We don't have to worry about adjusting our minds. Let him adjust our minds. He said, Lord, I believe that. I'm willing to take that. I'm willing to stand on it, Father. And you begin to see what God will do for it. Now we're going in with him, out of the world into him. Walk, let us walk forth in that city. Come out with him. Getting old, Lord, having many more sermons to preach. I'm certainly trusting you. I'm looking for that city like my father Abraham did. Notice identification. There's something in me tells it's coming. Identified Brother Branham does the same thing. I'm trying everywhere, Lord, to spread the light. Because let not one of these, Lord. How beautifully a while ago you revealed that to me. From the circumference of about 1,500 miles, just one here and there are set today. God let him know that, like the tabernacle, you got 1,500 miles, that tremendous city, reaching from Maine to Florida, and from the East Coast, about, 500 miles past Jeffersonville. How many did the tabernacle hold? Maybe 350 of what? Out of 250 million people in the United States. 350 people? Not very many. And how many of them were real? I could tell you some right now weren't real because they made him Jesus Christ. They didn't have anything to commend them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, from the circumference of 1,500 miles, just one here and one there set together today. They're gathered to one little spot, waiting for the city to appear. We profess that we are pilgrims and strangers, outcasts. The heathen, the world laughs and makes fun. Religious denominations ridicule, but we're not moved by such things. Sure, they laugh at the message. Why, he believed in one God. They laugh at serpent seed. Why, that's ridiculous. They laughed at sovereignty. Why, they said anybody can come to God. They laughed at presence. They said, why, he's been here all along. They laughed at vindicated prophecy and his ministry. They laughed at everything. They had a hilarious time. But he who laughs best. God laughs in derision. The heathen, the world laughs and makes fun. Religious denominations ridicule. Oh, they hate that serpent seed. But we're not moved by such things. No. That was 20 years ago, about now. Make us part of the word, Lord, unmovable. If you're part of it, how can you change? That's the secret. If you're really part of this word, that word's part of you. No matter what they do, they couldn't change it. Somebody will offer an arm up and say, well, I'll sure prove that you're part dog. Well, offer an arm up, feed a dog, say, now you're part dog. Does that change it? Well, I'm trying to show you something. You can't change, period. You're not going to change anyway. Change your geography. Change your environment. But you will go there, the same person you are now, with whatever worship you got in your heart, and I'll do the same thing. Turn the page over to page 72. Our invisible king this morning will be made manifest. He's there. The king is here. I won't look upon Bill Dow's 90 years old. They won't look upon me as 50. I'll be changed that day. 300, paragraph 320. That's what we're here for. How many of you need strength for the journey? God granted to us. How many of you are sick in your body, wounded soldier, dozen or more? You believe he's here? The invisible king? Oh, come on, that's not Christ in you. Things invisible. Visible are made manifest by the visible. Invisible are made manifest by the visible. In other words, he'll do something to prove that he is here. He's the same yesterday, day, and forever. But only the corporal body is different. God, his spirit, doesn't change, but he hasn't brought his body back. He uses the prophet, and he indwells you and me. That's a big thing. See? Now, if this is his spirit that preached this through me, he'll do the works he did when he was here. Oh, how wonderful. And I said, this message is of God for this hour. And I preach to you the truth. And I'm preaching to Zion. We are a part of Zion. God is going to back me up. Well, who else could say that? 321, 1933, he mentions, 500 walking near the river yonder. The first day the angel of the Lord appeared visible to vindicate, like he did on Mount Sinai, that I'd met him. In other words, this proves I met him. I walked the river, 100 singing that same song for baptism. Here he comes descending, that same pillar of fire that you see the picture there descending down right there here at the river and said, John the Baptist was sent to forerun his first coming. Your message will forerun the second coming. Sure, it's a message. 322, that same pillar of fire is here with us. He said, at least through the millennium. Are you aware of it? He just made some of us for one thing and some for another. If you'll without one doubt believe that he's in the midst of this building, I didn't say in your hearts now, I believe you're proving yourself to you. Prove himself what? That he's there. And Hebrews 13:8. Will it satisfy you? If I don't get everyone, it's going to be 2 o'clock. But if you, it's lit after 1 rather. If you'll believe, let him descend down upon us. Where is our faith? You've got to believe that. You don't doubt it one bit. It's going to work. Now watch, he's building up to perfect faith. Whereas he knows exactly what can happen and will happen because he has that ability. I recognize the divine presence of the being of Christ, who is the Word. And the Bible said the Word is more powerful than a sharp two-edged sword. And it cuts to the marrow, the bone, discern the thoughts that's in the heart, revealing the secret. And I said, let's see if it works. Look, well, I didn't know these things years ago. And when I said it, not knowing it, look what he has done. He said, now you'll take the people by their hand and don't think anything. Just speak what the attributes told you. In other words, what God's Spirit tells him. Say, it's tumor, whatever it is. Then said, it'll come to pass. You won't have to do that. It'll discern the very thing that's in them. We've had all kinds of impersonation. We know that almost to deceive the elect if possible. Watch how the rest of the thing goes with the Word. Then you know whether it's right or not. See? Now, this is actually impossible as a matter of doing what he says, for there are many people claim to do what the Word says. See, many, many, many things. Because they'll be doing a lot of things too, but you watch. His ministry is one that nobody else has. But Jesus still remains as yesterday and forever. How many in here that's sick and knows, I don't know you, raise up your hand and say, I know you don't know me. 2:325. Jesus said it was in the days of Sodom, so it'll be in the days of the Son of Man, when he shall be revealed on the earth in the last days. When the Son of Man shall be revealed, or reveal himself in the last days. Now, not the former days, the middle days, the last days, see, he would reveal. And now in the last days, Sodom setting exactly everything, the messenger is just alike. In other words, the two messengers down in Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and Brother Branham standing with God. What happened to the little remnant was called out of Abraham's group? There was one among them in human flesh. See? Now watch. In human flesh, represented in human flesh. It wasn't human flesh, it was represented. Speaking of a prophet right now, see? The last sign is that prophet revealing Sarah's heart. The moment of the well, the same thing. Eating with them, drinking with them, the same food, they ate, and they ate everything. He stood among them, told the message, then he said, I'm going to do this great thing. And Abraham kept studying, is it this? I've been looking for a city, is this the king? And he said, why does Sarah doubt this in the tent behind? Abraham said, Lord God Elohim. He had discerned Sarah's thoughts. Jesus said it would repeat again when he would be revealed in the last days, the headstone coming into the body. Now that's not the body going to the headstone. And the headstone coming down on the body. This is the headstone coming into the body to redeem. They're already redeemed and they meet him in the air. So that's not it. That's to redeem, coming to take his own. He's here with us. There's your tree of life. There's your presence. Now there's the whole thing you believe. You believe that. From that emanates all else. So, all right. The two spirits are so close at the end time. Can we discern between the two? Presently appearing at this time to bring us the Word of God. And I'm going to skip down to 3:29. Now I want you to look at me and pray. Just as Peter and John said, look on us. He wanted something. And he's just about to receive it. And you want something and I believe you're just about to receive it. He said, look on us. He said, silver and gold I don't have any. But such as I have I'll give you. Now healing I don't have any. That's all in Christ. But such as I have a gift of God give I thee. Faith to believe in him. Now Brother Brand said he had a gift. And that gift was to give us the faith to believe in him. So therefore, this man already by his vindicated message has given us the faith whereby nothing can go by us. I said, I've got this gift. Now in the name of Jesus, every one of you be healed. Believe it, if thou canst believe. Now it throws that back on them, on the healing principle. But we can believe this word. The lady sitting there looking at me, she's crying a few minutes ago praying. She's got a thyroid trouble that's bothering her. I don't know, you're strange to me. That's the truth. You're not from here, from Chicago. Mrs. Alexander, if that's right, wave your hand. I'll go back to Chicago and be well. What did she touch? The same thing. The woman with the blood issue touched the border of his garments. And he does others also. So he turned to page 76. 336. Now here's what he says about this discernment. That's the identification of the eternal King's presence. The same one that's going to be with us in the New Jerusalem. In other words, we are in New Jerusalem territory. As far as the full potential is concerned, and it's nearer than when we believe as to the final fulfillment. Do you believe it now with all your heart that he's here, seen, where he's present? He certainly made a, a ring right around through this building. Just spotted the whole church as he's going by them. Do you believe with all your heart? Do you believe you're in his presence? The tree of life? The Spirit of God manifesting himself? God doing it? See? Do you believe you're in his presence? Now, do you believe and accept that you're one of the delegation of the kingdom? Are you part of New Jerusalem? He said, raise your hand. See? Now, he tells them that they can receive healing. In paragraph 339, now put your hands one upon another, and you are a part of this part of Christ. You pray for the person you've got your hands on, just the way you want to. And he prays, Lord Jesus, recognize you here. You're our King. The King is in New Jerusalem, first of all millennium. At the wedding supper, he's identified. You identify yourself among us. We thank you for this presence, not the other presence, for this presence of identifying yourself now amongst us. That's different. It's not the same. And Lord, you said, if you say to this mountain, be moved. Now watch. Don't doubt it. Believe what you said will come to pass. You can have it. Now he's working on perfect faith. The three rainbows of the covenant of grace. The message of grace, Abraham's message of grace. And he said, this is what I know. I never asked for those squirrels. God said, you ask. I didn't intend to. And I asked for squirrels. And this is what came. This is the same as cursing the fig tree. Now, this is what that man had in his ministry and couldn't get it across to the people. But remember, God isn't dead. And I don't believe God says, well, you blew it, you're out of luck. Because if we'd have blown it, and this was blowing it, what would be the use of preaching this message today and you and me believing it if the mistake made back there canceled it out? It doesn't cancel it out, because the Bible says, don't ever think you've come too late. That's Hebrews, the fourth chapter. You can have what you said. Then in obedience, this commandment, in obedience to the word of God, which cannot fail, we as your delegates for 1,500 square miles, like the city, we say to Satan, the defeated devil, your end is to be burned. Preaching New Jerusalem doctrine right now. Let's burn the whole thing up and get started over again. We are the delegation from the city that's four square, the city where the Lamb is the light. So what are we now? We are the expressed attribute of God Almighty, who Jesus Christ has redeemed by his grace. Put you right there. Satan, come out and leave every sick person that's in here in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, to take a hold of this is what we need to do, brother, sister, to get real ultimate victory here in the flesh. Holy hands have been redeemed because they believe the word and are attributes of God's thoughts. Now these hands are upon each other. That's what he says about the people. You can't hold them any longer, Satan. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now he's here. That's the thing. Now he's here, as he says. His word says he's here. Your presence and your faith speaks that you're one of the delegation. Even every geographical measure that we can show that it is. Can you recognize that you're redeemed sons and daughters of God? He said it back there. I want to say, he said, about 25 years later, have the people still got it? Did they get it then? Do they recognize it now? Or are they still back in Pentecost? Can you recognize this is your home? This is where you're going, right here in a changed condition. Already in a new dimension being built, and we're getting for the new dimension by being changed. This is where you're going. That's why you come here. That's why you come to Christ. You're feeding on his word. That's it. That's why you come there. New Jerusalem has New Jerusalem food. And if you can have a time like this here, just by his expressed attributes, what will it be when you come into his presence? That is the fullness manifested in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it'll be wonderful. Each one of you has a right to heal the sick. Lay your hands upon the sick. Each one of you has a right to baptize. Now, he's talking here of the New Jerusalem and bringing you right down back here in this hour for you and me to capitalize on what God had said the ultimate was, because the ultimate is merely geography. That's right. If somebody's here not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the pool is open. That's the only way you're going to make it. That's right. Is obey every word. Remember, one little phrase of the word in the beginning caused every sin on earth. Jesus said, whosoever shall take one word away from this or add one word to it won't win. His name's off the book there. Finishes up. That's what the Bible teaches. There's no place to bow for anybody who's ever baptized in church otherwise than in the name of Jesus. Now, that's the prophet vindicated said that. So you try to change William Branham's message, it's gone. See, if you haven't been baptized that way, you'd better do it. While you say it doesn't make any difference. It did to Eve. Satan said, surely God, you know God, But he did. He said so. He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. What was bound at Pentecost is bound forever. That's Acts 2:38-39. That's the reason the bride came into preview the second time. There has to be a church called out of the latter day, like there was the first day, just exactly. And to be just exactly, it's got to have the same word and the same spirit. It's got to have the same good fertilized ground. It's got to have the same seed in it. It's got to have the same rain, the same sun. It's got to be one. And Brother Branham's vision showed it. See? Like there was the first day, just exactly. The trees that's come from its root up to the bride tree, like it did at that time, God's masterpiece again, it said 2 Sundays ago, to be taken to the city, the bride tree. God bless you. I now believe Satan is defeated. He knows. He's on earth. He's going like a roaring lion. Satan's down here too, but not like God. It isn't long till he's over. He's finished. He knows his time. That's why he's going like a roaring lion. See? Most people roar about the message, all right, but one day the roar is going to turn to the great shout. Remember, the Prince of Peace stands by, the great divine one, the architect of my being, the architect who built me what I am, who built you what you are, is here. And he's directing all things too. It's the architect who knows how to put the building together in its right place. Who knows better than the architect? He's here to prove himself. He's here. Now, it's based upon your faith. Only believe. And so he's saying, I'm bound for that beautiful city whose builder and maker is God. Then he mentions communion and so on. Remember that at the church tonight, they'll be giving communion if you're here in the city yet. Like it's a memorial of what we're going deep. One of these days with him, you'll find more of that in the, who is this, Melchizedek. And then he says in 348 to page 78, do you love him? Till we meet now, let's stand. Take the name of Jesus with you. Give us the cord you love him. Isn't it wonderful? Do you believe this is true? Are you headed that way by the grace of God? All right. I didn't have to have the second tape, which is good. I did it on purpose. I cut some part of it down because I wanted to finish tonight. Now, the major thrust that we're looking at in this message, as I see it, as Brother Branham started way back in the church ages, when John was in the Spirit, he said, look it, when you go to a ball game, you get in the Spirit. You go to a wrestling match, you get in the Spirit. Everything you go, you get in the Spirit. So when you come to church, you get in the Spirit. And therefore, you get in the Spirit, not only of drawing a message out of whoever is doing the preaching as the people could draw it out of Brother Branham, because there'd be no use him preaching to the non-elect. He was sent for the bride. See, so let's face it, he was sent to bring those people in, not somebody else. This is separating time. This is not joining time. So therefore, it is not only merely beginning to come in such faith that there will be a message, but there will be a message that you yourself apprehend, and it becomes a part of you, and it becomes the best part. Because remember, the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord can't change. So therefore, brother, sister, let's understand this, that we will leave here as we are into another geography. Many people have gone down. God's had to take away their lives because they haven't lived the life. They have not done what they should have done. They knew better, and they wouldn't do it. Brother Brown speaks of the woman being cleaned up, others being cleaned up. We understand that. I'm looking at this tonight, to open our hearts and our minds to the Word of God, to a sense of real understanding and spiritual upbuilding in Christ, to know that we are a part of this great city, and therefore to conduct ourselves through the obedience of faith, which means learning to get out of the way so that he can have his way. That's when you're a true grace person. Through this obedience of faith, conducting ourselves as citizens of the great kingdom. And as we come closer and closer, that certainly should be there. Now, God has never, ever rescinded his rules of holiness, a holy walk, a right attitude, and all those things. He never rescinded that. But what he has done is always added to his word, which is that word of faith, whereby we have that faith to believe, which in turn gives us the strength for the journey. Now, this message actually was given in order to give us strength for 1,000 years down the road. As I've said many times, it's right in the book. We look in the Old Testament, where it said, this word is what you need for the other side. And this word is what we need for the other side. We need it for the millennium, and he's laid it all out. He said, there's everything here to put you in a rapture under the seventh seal, and this is part of it. So this here actually is the food of the New Jerusalem for 1,000 years down the road. So it's very difficult to believe that. But you see, there isn't any more message. There's no other message, nothing left. It's all over. 7 ages are over. Who's going to come and do something now? Nobody. The next thing, brother, sister, is the dead come out of the grave and we be changed and taken out of here. So this word that we have feasting on and knowing what the Spirit's behind, especially that Spirit, should literally, as you might say, glom onto it, latch onto it, on the Word of God, and enter into the Spirit of the prophet, which he said, God's Spirit spoke through me, gave me this message. See, that's what we read right tonight. Based upon the vindication that God made manifest. And so therefore there is a bride, and he said, I am speaking to that bride, and it's very, very few. Well, how few? We don't know. We know one thing, that very few will be standing. A whole lot can be dead and come out of the ground. Brother Branham's vision, he saw vast numbers. Said, all these Branhams, will they be brides? Not necessarily. No. They'd be come up in the second resurrection. But you see what you're looking at. This message is the last message. It won't anymore. Won't be anymore. Closes it all up. From that time on, there's steady progression. So already, if we believe with all of our hearts, unto what have we believed? We haven't just believed unto Almighty God for salvation. We have believed unto God for the ultimate of God Himself. Not just in redemption, brother, sister. Redemption simply puts you there. He could have put us all in the desert. He could have let us out like Jimmy Jones, let him kill them all and damn it. God could have done a lot of things. He didn't do it. He had the purpose in mind. See? And that purpose that he had, that holy city, and already we should be like Brother Branham, like Abraham, just taking our stand with the city, like the prophets of old. So Brother Branham often said, if this could be done under the blood of bulls and goats, what can be done under the precious blood of Jesus Christ our Savior? Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your goodness and mercy, Lord. You give us strength to come here, Father. You give us the endurance to sit here through the heat and all, which really isn't bad. Actually, some could be a whole lot worse. We thank you, Lord, for what we got. We praise you, knowing, Lord, that what little problems we've had down here, the trials, the road, even those who've had to walk with feet bleeding and hands torn, lives that have been mutilated by others and all, standing true to the Word, defying the enemy, pressing the battle to the gates. We'll all go up there and we'll realize the toils of life will seem nothing when we get to the end of it. And we know the end is the New Jerusalem. And up there, Lord, you wipe away every tear. There won't be any thought at all of the past. It's all going to be gone. And Lord, we'll be carrying on just like little Jesus's. Just like the great one, Lord, that Brother Branham said, our Christ, who bypassed a human body for the time being, but didn't bypass the theophany body, then took on a human. But we bypassed ours. So we can't remember. But oh my, what we'll remember. And what will come to us in that great day, Lord, when all of the mighty, wonderful things of God will burst upon us. And just like a divine river, divine flow, we in Christ and Christ in us and all in God, Lord. What a day that is, Lord. Now, Father, the prophet had a real revelation. And something stirred in his heart like the prophets of old. But, Lord, we're in a lukewarm age, so we got to ask you tonight, will you help us? And there's something we need to know, need to do to stir up the spirit within us. To begin to move away from cold and lukewarm into red hot. Then, Lord God, no matter what it takes, I know, Lord, that you've got what it takes. And if we're bride, we've got exactly what it takes. So that all together, Lord, we can be fervent in spirit and grow in grace and go right up to the place we're going and have this tremendous revelation and the comforting power and zeal of it, O God. Father, we know down the road somewhere we're going to need it. So I pray, Lord, let us start tonight as we close off this series about 16 solid messages, Lord. Almost 24 hours of solid preaching on it, O God. Pray that you help us. Surely, Lord, if you just anoint what has been said, if it's your word, then, Lord, what great anointing will be in our souls, our hearts, and our mind from this alone. And we'll praise you for it, Lord, because this is what we really want, to praise you the more, worship you more, and serve you better. And I wonder the King Eternal, the only wise God, be all honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.